All right, good morning, church. Firstly, I would like to say thank you very much to the pastor, Ray, and the ministers for the opportunity given unto me to bring the message on this blessed day. All right, so we'll be looking at, in recent time, I've been studying the book of Genesis, and it's been quite intriguing and interesting for me because when a lot of people read the word, they read it, some people read it as a storybook. Some people say the Old Testament historical events that happened. But what God has been doing is he's been opening my eyes to see how things that took place, even as time back as the book of Genesis, how they are relevant to us today. You know, you get to speak to a lot of people and they tell you the reason why they think even the Bible should be evolved is because they cannot really relate things that have happened then to what's happening now. But what I can say is when you read the Bible, you need to pray to the Holy Spirit to open up your mind to see how as little information on there, how they can be relevant to you today. I love when Doc was leading prayers and how he brought out the story of Esther, you know, and how you can take in honor into your life today and what honor means. So today we'll be looking at the story of the ark. That's Noah and the ark. If I ask any child here, they will tell you they understand, oh yeah, Noah built an ark and things like that. I've tagged the theme is the chronicle of the ark. We'll be looking at the events that took place. You know, I was reading it and God was opening my eyes to what was happening in that period. So I'm going to be reading from Genesis 6:12. It's going to be a long read to Genesis 8, but during the read, I'll be taking some breaks. So Genesis 6:12 from the Amplified Version. I love the Amplified Version. I recently discovered that it was transcribed from the original transcript as well as the King James. All right, so it says in Genesis 6, from 6:11, pardon me, it says the population of the earth was corrupt. Now it says the population of the earth was corrupt, absolute depraved, spiritually and morally putrid in God's sight, and the land was filled with violence. I'm going to be skipping some of the translation there. It says, God looked on the earth and saw how debased and degenerate it was, for all humanity had corrupted their way on the earth and lost their true direction. So God said to Noah, I intend to make an end of all that lives. For true men, the land is filled with violence. And behold, I'm about to destroy them together with the land. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, making it rooms, you know, stall, pens, coops, nests, cages, compartments. Coat it inside and out with pitch, bitumen. This is the way you are to make it. Now, this is where God begins to give him the specification. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30. You shall make a window for light and ventilation for the ark and finish it to at least a cubit 18 inches from the top and set the entry door of the ark in its inside. The entry door of the ark in its side, and you shall make it with lower, second, and third deck. You know, after I read that, I decided to, growing up in Sunday school, children's church, we learned a lot about the ark. So I decided to do a lot of research. It says the word ark comes from a Latin word arca, for a box or a chest. You know, but one thing about this specification that God gave to Noah is that the ark was to match its particular purpose. And the purpose of the ark is not like a traditional ship where it's meant to travel, you know, or you're meant to paddle or move. But the function of the ark was to be stable and to float. That was the purpose of the ark that God took Noah to do, because they were not moving from anywhere to, they were just to stay floating. You know, so it say, and also it, that the construction happened very quickly, based on the wood and all the specification. Now, this year has been tagged our year of restoration, a time to rebuild. For many of us, and I pray for each and every one of us, God is going to be giving us specific instruction on how to rebuild, on how to be restored. We need to be careful not to begin to modify the instruction God is going to release unto you and I. Because the function of the specification God gave to Noah was to create something that was going to float. If Noah decided to change it or mess around with it, different things could have happened. There was danger of sinking. God told him, seal the part of the ark with bitumen, which is meant to prevent it from getting water in. You know, God told him to create compartments so that when everyone enters, we're not going to all be muddied up together. Create windows so that there'll be ventilation. You know, specification was given because God can see everything. At the beginning of this year, when the word came out, what did God tell you that you have taken instructions for this year? You have to be careful not to begin to modify it. You have to be careful not because of time, you begin to try and help God and begin to change the instructions you receive from God. So we need to make sure that we follow all the instructions we've heard from God. And some people will say, actually, yes, pastor came up here and said, this is our team, but I've not heard from God. No problem. All you have to do is begin to yearn to hear from God. You know, Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. In the book of that same book of Psalms, in 143, verse 8, it says, let me hear you in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me to know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. So for people that will say, you know what? Yes, I've heard this is a year of restoration, but I don't know what plans of God for my life this year. All you have to do is cry unto God. Father, I want to hear you. I want to know what your plans are for me for this year. It's not too late. This is still April. 4 months. You still have 8 months to go. So if you've not heard from God about how he wants to restore you or how he wants you to rebuild, you can still yearn to hear from God. All right, so let's go back to the Bible passage we're reading. So from verse 17 now, it says, for behold, I will bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heaven, in which there is breath and spirit of life. Everything that is on the land shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you and your three sons, your wives, and your son's wife with you. And of every living thing found on land, you shall bring two of every kind unto the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of fowls and birds according to their kind, of animals according to their kind, of every crawling thing on the ground according to its kind. Two of every kind you shall come to you and keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is edible, and you shall collect it and store it. It shall be food for you and for them. Noah did this according to all that God commanded him. That is what he did. Now, this is Noah. According to biblical records, he's regarded as a tiller of soil. Now, this is a guy that doesn't have any project management knowledge. He's not a zookeeper, he's not a project manager, he's not an architect that knows how to construct all this thing, but God gave him instructions of what to do. You know, and if you go by the word tiller of soil, that means he was a farmer. And this is where God has given him this masterpiece to do. Now, for some of us this year, we've heard from God about the plans he has for us, and it looks big. It looks like something we cannot undo. Some people are like, wow, God, how will I do this? But we need to be careful not to restrict ourselves to hearing from God about his blessings and promises for our life based on what we can do. Because if Noah was to rely on his own experience, he probably would have been thinking God would tell him that maybe dig the ground, like when you're farming, and build an underground bunker. I don't know how he could have done that, but it could have been something related to farming, but this is a totally different landscape. So for some of us, God might be telling us to move, for us to be restored this year, for us to rebuild some of the things we've lost. God might be telling us to move from our comfort zone, to open up to something new. You have to trust that for God to tell you that God has a plan. That knowledge and the wisdom of how to go about it, God will release it unto you. You don't have to start looking for excuses or thinking, all right, that is the devil. For some of us, the plans of God for our life for this year might even be bigger than what we are used to. But don't worry, God that is going to give you that plan or that strategy will give you the knowledge. For some of us, you might need to read. You might need to expand your knowledge. You might need to meet new people, you know, create opportunities and do things you've not done before this year. Fantastic. Great. Do it. God will give you the enablement. Don't restrict yourself that God will only do what he wants to do based on what you know. It might not be your comfort zone for you to be restored this year. All right, so let's go on to the flood in chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you with all your household, for you alone I have seen as righteous, doing what is right before me in this generation. Of every clean animal you shall take with you 7 pair. So God gave him further instruction. If you go to verse 5, it says, Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Now in verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of water came on the earth, covering all the land. Then Noah and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him entered the ark to escape the flood waters. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean, and birds and fowls and everything that crossed on the ground, they came motivated by God into the ark with Noah 2x2. I know in children's church growing up, I've always wondered how did Noah was able to convince lions, ants, the tiny little creatures to get into the ark 2x2, because it says here that he got all the animals there 2x2, male and female. How did he convince the snake to go in? Like, was he not scared? But here he says that they came motivated by God into the ark. So Noah did his job, constructed the ark, made the compartment, and God motivated the animals to come in. It says there that they came in just as God has commanded Noah. And after 7 days, God released the rain and the flood waters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that same day, the fountains of the great deep burst open and the windows and floodgates of the heaven were open. It rained on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. All right, now this is where we discuss. Now, firstly, God did not tell Noah how long it's going to take for the rain to happen. It's not recorded here. For some of us, we have what God has told us at the beginning of this year is going to do for us, but he's not giving us a timeline. It's not a place to start panicking. It's already April. I've not seen what God promised me. I've not been restored. Oh, it's April. I've not had a single guy propose to me yet. It's April. I don't have a new job yet. Don't worry about it. Just like Noah, that when we fit into the ark and trusted that, regardless of how long it takes, I know that God has seen the whole picture. So you have to trust God, even though it might look like things are going longer than you envisage or you would like it to happen. So Noah went into the ark without the knowledge of how long it's going to take. But one thing he knew was, I might not know when the rain is going to come. Okay, he knew when the rain was going to come. But I might not know how long it's going to be, but I know it will happen. And I will come out of this. It's like when you plant a seed in the ground. Let's take a bean seed. When you put it into the ground, for a few days, you don't see anything. But guess what? On the ground, the roots are forming. Now, because of the way we are, we cannot see into the ground in an x-ray vision, but you know that some days after you begin to see signs of development. Now, for what can you do for your faith is every time that there seems to be like a delay, hold on to the word of God that, you know what? The roots are being developed on the inside, on the ground. I might not see that thing I'm waiting on God for. Guess what? God is working behind the scene. So just like until after a few days that you can begin to see the plant, trust that what is happening is the roots are forming, the foundation are being developed. And then I think about it, some things seem illogical. How will it happen? You know, how these blessings, how will God do it for me this year? It's not our place to begin to rationalize the plans of God for us with our human understanding or wisdom. I'm sure when Noah told people that rain was going to come, I couldn't see it yet, but it's recorded, it could be recorded that people were laughing because they couldn't believe it. They'd not seen that sort of rain. So why should they trust that there's a rain that will destroy the world? Well, Noah trusted the word of God. You know, I was, during this lockdown, I was speaking to someone that I've been praying for, has been single for a while. And I was asking the person that what's the update? And the person said that, update, there's no update. We've been in lockdown. Everybody's at home. How do you want me to find someone? And I laughed and I said, you see, when we read the word of God, now a lot of people say, yeah, the word of God, you have to look at it in the context of what is written. If you always see the word of God and say stick to the context, you always see the word as history, because you wouldn't see offices, you wouldn't see playground, you wouldn't see club in the Bible. But when you read it and the Holy Spirit reveals some things to you and you apply it to you today, you understand that the Bible was relevant there, is relevant today. And I told the person something, and I said, do you realize that Rebecca, because I've been reading Genesis in recent time, that Rebecca was approached while she was doing her chores. She was going to fetch water. And I said, you can also be approached while you're doing your daily chores. I said, Rachel was approached at home. She was at home when someone proposed to her. And I said, there might be lockdown, but you can be in your house and you can meet someone online, because that is become lockdown, everybody stay at home. You can meet someone online that can propose to you. You know, and I said, oh, let's take one more person. Ruth, she met Boaz in the factory. I will say factory because if I say farm, we'll take it back to that context. But let's say there's no farm now. There's factory, there's offices. She met Boaz while she was going to the office. And I said, you could be that when you go into your office, you can actually meet your life partner as well. So do not restrict. So what the person did was, because there was lockdown, their faith, they believe that, you know what, nothing can happen until lockdown is lifted, because they thought the only way God can do this is when I begin to go out there and socialize. Yes, that has been encouraged. But when there are circumstances outside of your control, it's outside of your control, not outside the control of God. So you need to be careful not to restrict the things God can do in your life, regardless of what's happening out there. But anyway, let's go on. So if you read from 7:13, up until 16. Now, this talks about when they all went in. And in verse 16, it says that those which entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded Noah, and the Lord closed the door behind him. Another version said, and the Lord shut him in. When we obey God to the fullest, he releases his grace upon us that things that we cannot control, God covers that up. Now, these are the guys, they've done everything, they've opened, they've closed, they've entered, they pulled the door in. But God sealed it up with his grace. And I pray that in this year, as we obey and follow the instructions of God, that God will release his grace upon us, that things that look like holes or things that might look like places that the enemy will want to use, or things that are weaknesses that the enemy will want to use to prevent us from receiving our blessings in full, that the grace of God will cover that in the name of Jesus. And it says in verse 17 that the flood was for 40 days and night, a great downpour. It came on the earth and the waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it floated high above the land. You know, I thought, when I read the story, it always sounded like it was a fun thing to be in the ark. But thinking about it, no. It's like, you know, when you go into a lift, and one moment, the lift goes up. At that moment, your heart skips a beat. Some people might not, but for me, it does. Now, imagine that being going on the lift, and sometimes, even for kids, they might be scared. Imagine continuously being in that sort of motion for days. Because this water kept rising. And it's not a case of you filling in your bathtub with water where everything just goes smoothly. This is, very soon I'll explain how high that water was. So imagine the ark wasn't just like a lift. Imagine a lift that turbulence is happening. So I don't think being inside that ark was thinking that they were just there playing Monopoly, playing Uno, and giving themselves high five. I can sense that possibly, because it's natural for them to the water and everything like that. You know, even though in this year, some people might face some challenges. You might face some things that looks like those promises might not come to pass. But guess what? Hold on to the word of God that he released at the beginning of this year, that this is a year of restoration. If it goes on, it says that the water became mighty and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated. It says that the water prevailed so greatly and were so mighty and overwhelming on the earth. All the mountains were covered. It says, in fact, the water became 15 cubits higher than the highest ground, and the mountains were covered. This is about 22.5 feet high. So like I said, that, you know, people in the ark, like, I don't think that they were just chilling, and there could have been a sense of fear or a little bit of panic sometimes, possibly, or not. But regardless, they still maintain and believed in God. So for you and I this year, fine, you might apply for a mortgage and they turn you down. Oh, well and good. All I'm holding on to, God has told me that this year I'm going to get my mortgage. So maybe is their loss, not mine. This year God says he's going to restore us. You're going to get a promotion. You got denied a promotion in January. It's their loss. I still know that come before December, I'm still going to get a promotion. You need to hold on to the word of God, regardless of what you see out there. They might tell you in the news that the economy has gone down or the R rate has gone to 0.8.1. You know what? It's somewhere not good. I am protected. Don't let those news or what's happening around you affect you. And then it goes on about all the living things that died and the water covered. But the point I was going to make out here is the rain remained after it stopped. It remained on earth for 150 days, 5 months. You know, like I said, God did not tell Noah how long it's going to be. But Noah just believed that God is working. So you might not see some things happening. It might look, when the rain stopped, that means they were in that state for 150 days. For some people, it might look like some weeks will pass where there is no change in your circumstances. But you know what? You just have to believe that God is doing something. They did not know when it was going to end, but they believed that God is doing something. Regardless of what might be going on in the world, you and your household, you have to believe that you are protected. All right, so quickly, let's go to chapter 8. Now, this is very, very lovely. Now, it says, and God remembered and thought kindly of Noah. You know, when I hear the word remembered, I thought, does that mean God forgot? Some of us will feel like God has forgotten you and I. Some people feel like they've been in that situation for a long time and it looks like God has forgotten you. Some of us, we feel like, how come I've stayed in this position for so long? Has God forgotten me? Did God actually forget them? When I saw that word remembered, I had to go do my research. Firstly, when I went to Isaiah, it says, this is also the feeling that was said. He said, but Zion said, the Lord has abandoned me. The Lord has forgotten me. Then the Lord answered, can a woman forget a nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. I decided to look at other translations. It says, rather than say, and God remembered, the contemporary English version says, God did not forget Noah. Message translation said, then God turned his attention to Noah. If you look at other people in the Bible, Sarah, Anna, Lot, Rachel, that same reference was made that God remembered them. Let me give you an example. Ayofe, come. Mori, come. You two should come. Yep. Hurry up. All right. Stand here. How are you? Fantastic. Now, let's assume I'm daddy, right? And I'm not daddy. I look better than daddy. Yeah. All right. So let's assume I'm daddy. Now, if I want to, these are my kids, right? Every morning to get them ready for school, I know that them to have to, we have to bathe them for them to get ready for school. I can decide according to whatever we've agreed in a family to always bathe IFA first. And then we'll bathe morning. Now, because I'm bathing IFA first, doesn't mean I've forgotten Mori exists or that Mori needs to be baited. It's just a case of I would do IFA and I will come after and do Mori. But on a certain morning, if we wake up and Mori suddenly says, Daddy, can you bait me first? I don't think Uncle K will have a problem baiting Mori first because she asked to be baited first. So whenever they bait IFA first, it's not that they've forgotten that they need to bait Mori. It's just a case of, Mori, when it's your turn, you'll come into the bath and we'll bait you. But the moment Mori has a right to cry out to say, Daddy, I just feel like having a bath first. And Daddy will gladly say, all right, IFA, you know what? I've not forgotten you. I will come back to you, but let me bait Mori first. God bless you. Thank you. All right, you can go back. Now, for some people that think that God has forgotten you, it's not that God has forgotten you as we read in Isaiah, right? God still knows you are there. God knows what you are asking him for. But guess what? We can cry out to God and say, Father, like it says here, turn your attention to my case. You know, you pray and you call on God, turn your attention to my... For some people, it might not be your case. Let's look at what it says about Abraham or about Lot. In Genesis 19:29, it says, God remembered Abraham and he sent Lot out of the midst. Now, this is not Lot God is even remembering. For the sake of Abraham, God looked at Lot. For some of us, we might have family members that we've been praying for, that we've been interceding for. But you know what? You can cry out to God and say, Father, turn your attention to this person on my behalf. Then it says that God also, at the latter end of verse 8, it says, and God made a wind blow over the land and the waters receded. I pray for you today that as God made the wind to blow over the land and the water receded, that God will blow away any obstacle or hindrances to your success or your breakthrough this year in the name of Jesus. And I declare that, Lord, as you looked and moved your attention to the cases that you looked in favor to Noah, for everyone that feels like you have forgotten them, Father, attend to their case in the name of Jesus. Father, for those people that it might not be them, it might be a family member they've been crying unto you for. As you looked at Abraham and you remembered Abraham and you looked into Lot's case, Father, Lord, look unto them and remember their family cases in the name of Jesus. Quickly, I'm just going to go on now. It says that the fountain of the deep and the windows of heaven were closed and the rain from the sky was restrained and the water receded. At the end of the 150 days, the water was diminished. I mean, it was reduced. Some breakthroughs might not, the manifestation of some things might not be immediate. It might have to take a while for it to happen. For example, you are looking to God that you want to get married. It might not happen suddenly, like you will need to get someone, probably date for a while and everything. It might be healing or you might be praying or whatever. But you would always pray and say, Father, the patience to wait on you and not to lose my faith, release unto me. Because for these ones, the 150 days, they stayed in that boat, just waiting. To wrap this all up, if you read from verse 4 all the way down to verse 12, it talked about what Noah did. Noah began to test the waters. He began to test his faith. He sent out a dove to come back. He sent a raven out there. But despite all that, Romans still stayed there. You know what? For what God has told you is going to happen this year, you can build your faith up by testing the waters. As God told you this year, you buy your house. Happy days. Check out mortgage. How much are houses in your choice area? You know what? It just happened to build your faith. The daughter you get married this year, check for the prices of gowns out there. Check for the venue prices, how much they have. Begin to plan. You might not have seen it, but because you know that, you know what, God is working. So this is Noah testing the ground, sending out the dove just to check out what's happening out there. But that doesn't mean he was ready to move out yet. Yeah? He was just checking to build his faith up that God is working. So you can do similar things. Begin to check jobs that you want to do. How much are they paying? All right, those are the kind of jobs I want. You know, and basically he spent 294 days in the old, from when the rain started to when they came out. 294 days. You know, we just, one thing I want to say is after Noah did all these things and the dove finally was able to deduce that the water has receded, it says that Noah still stayed in the ark. And in verse 13, it says, now in the 601st year of Noah's ark, on the first day of the first month, the waters were drying up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and the surface of the ground was dry. On the 27th day of the second month, the land was entirely dry. Now, Noah could see that the land was dry and that the land was drying. But guess what? In verse 15, and God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your son and their wives with you. It was 2 months between when Noah realized that the ground was almost dry to when God told him to actually move out. For some of us, yes, the economic things out there might say this is the best time. But you know what? We still need to make sure that we adhere to God's instruction. We need to be careful and wait when God tells us to go. Because everyone is going this year, it doesn't mean it's time for us to go. We still need to make sure God is leading us so we do not miss it. Noah waited for 2 more months until he heard from God before moving. I pray for you that in this year, 2021, that God will move on your behalf in the name of Jesus. And I pray that as Noah was patient to adhere to all the instructions from God, that God will release the grace for us to be obedient and adhere to his instructions in the name of Jesus. For anyone that feels weak in their spirit, that feels like, God, you have forgotten me. I've been in this place for so long. I pray that, Lord Almighty, in your infinite mercy, Father, attend to their cases in the name of Jesus. Father, an understanding to see how you are working. Release unto your children, we pray in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, all the plans you have for us for this year, that, Lord, you have declared this year our year of restoration. That, Father, we will see the manifestation sooner than expected in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you, Lord, because monthly, daily, weekly, we shall hear of testimonies from our members in the name of Jesus. People that are testifying of the restoration of the power of God upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I declare, he says that you motivated the animals to get into the ark. Father, whoever that wants to be a stumbling block from us receiving our breakthrough, I declare that, Lord, motivate them to have a change of mind in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, whoever wants to be the one preventing us from being promoted, from us receiving our mortgage letters, that, Father, Lord, touch their hearts, that, Lord, they will sign in our favor in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord. And at the end of it, it says that Noah came out and was thankful, and he gave a thanksgiving offering. Father, we declare that, Lord, we will dance with our thanksgiving when we come out of this situation, Lord. Father, we pray that, Lord, we will testify, Lord. We declare that we will testify of your goodness. We give you all the glory, Father. For in Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. God bless you.